You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys are going plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jays. Millie.
Welcome back. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, and we want to welcome you to the post 111-109 win over the Sacramento Kings. We are the Raining Jays. I am Mass Live's John Corrales, joined by Samuel Jamison Packard III.
Jam.
Also known as Ladies Love Cool Jam.
Jam Jam. It's funny to do that when there's people around.
When people are listening to our little crazy intro. We are coming to you from the not Arco, not Sleep Train, but Golden One Center. Golden One Credit Union Center. I didn't even know that they had changed the name of this place.
Well, it's brand new, so I don't think they changed the name. I think it's just opened
a
new one.
They just opened it up and that was the name, but I thought it was a different name. Maybe I'm just thinking of something else.
Who knows? Arena, though.
It's a nice place. I enjoy it. This scoreboard is amazing. One of the best I've ever seen. High-tech stuff.
Very informative stats throughout the entire game.
Very much. The court is cool. I really like their center court logo. For all the old people, it looks like the old Lowenbrau beer logo. Kind of like that that lion, that what is it, like a German, Austrian, Bavarian lion-looking thing.
Exactly.
Very much, very cool.
I got a lot of mascot takes, but we'll save that for the junk drawer.
Sure, sure. Sacramento, like, this is a cool place. And it was a cool game. Celtics came in on the back-to-back. Did not start out, I think, the way anybody would have liked. And, in fact, Brad Stevens angrily called. It was funny. For subs, Hayward and Jaylen Brown early. He's like, get in there. Like, he was pissed off. And then Celtics actually went on a quick 7-0 run. But I guess on the back-to-back, Brad Stevens referenced it. That it was kind of good to gut this out. Let's go to the end.
The end was intense.
Gordon Hayward on the full court drive pulls up on the left baseline, drains the jumper. Brad Stevens said after the game that he didn't think the team had the juice to go into an overtime. So we'll get into the nitty gritty. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't the free-flowing type of thing that we saw against the Warriors. But on a back-to-back against a young, fast, scrappy team.
Extremely fast.
Very fast. De'Aaron Fox is a blur. To win this game when you're not playing well is, in fact, good.
Yeah, to kind of pull it out. And down the stretch, they kind of messed up. They were in basically a great position to win this game. I think they were up 6 with like 4 minutes to play, and there was a repeated mistake after mistake, but they kind of pulled themselves back and were able to do the right thing. Jason Tatum made an incredible, I don't even really remember how he managed to get that shot off, but I feel like he did like a spin move, ridiculous fadeaway.
It was very ballet-like.
And so they had the lead going there, and they're up 3, and Gordon Hayward fouls Buddy Hield, who makes all 3 of those free throws. And it's just like the type of mistakes that it feels like would have killed the Celtics in previous games. They like were able to persevere tonight, and it's just a better win than the Warriors game. Of course, the Warriors game is like it's good because it's against the Warriors, and they blew them out, but like. In terms of a resistance, in terms of like a tough game, the Celtics actually responded. And what we've been talking about all year, we've been talking about effort and caring and doing like the small things, the hustle things to get on the play. Marcus Smart, basically with 25 seconds left on the clock, the Kings decided not to foul, and they pretty much did foul Marcus Smart, but the ball went flying around. Got tipped by I don't even know, how do you say his name? Bajelica?
Oh, Bielica.
Bielica. Yeah, how is that pronounced? Bielica. But
you know, Central Europeans, they're crazy with their vowels and nouns.
But there's Marcus Morris, like, diving on the floor. He said he pulled a smarty and scraped the shit out of his knee because he didn't know how to dive, which is a great Mook quote. But, like, making that tough play, that effort play in that moment, getting a 50-50 ball, that's the things we've been talking about with the Celtics team. And it seems like, I don't want to say they've turned a corner because it's only two games, but it's the type of win where you – I didn't expect them to win this game, actually. I thought there was a tough back-to-back, especially with no Kyrie Irving, that this is a young, like, scrappy Kings team who just plays with effort throughout the entire game, and that's just like – we've seen the Celtics really struggle with that type of team.
Yeah, and look, it's basically the Celtics were able to hold the Kings bench in check. The Kings bench, I'm looking at it now, has 13 points. And the Celtics bench, basically, Gordon Hayward and Jaylen Brown had 22 points. And that's that basically the difference in the game, because the Kings starters were really good. Buddy Hield, I mean, what can you say about Buddy Hield? He's really, the first couple of years, and Brad Stevens mentioned this afterwards, actually before the game, he talked about, people don't let these players grow. And you got a guy who is a high lottery pick. And, okay, maybe some of them don't pan out. Some of them might just take longer. And Buddy Hield was an older rookie. But sometimes it doesn't matter. Like, it just takes longer. So, and that was the case with Buddy Hield. And maybe it was a scenery change or whatever. But, man, he was good. I mean, when he shoots, you just feel like it's going in now. He was huge. But back to the Celtics, I thought that that perseverance, the ability to get past the mistakes and answer.
Especially that Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown, I'm going to assume it was Jaylen Brown's fault, but they made a terrible miscommunication, just let Fox get a dunk in a half-court possession.
Yeah.
And then they just came out, and like right after that, they got to Tatum on Bogdan. I think Bogdan already fouled out at that point, but they got past that. They got, like, basically colossal fuck up after colossal fuck up, and they still managed to pull out the game.
Yeah, notice that Jaylen Brown did not play anymore after that mistake. I mean, that was a brutal mistake, and Brad kind of like, yeah, we were switching, and he didn't pin the blame on anybody, but clearly Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris were both talking to Jaylen Brown about, because Brown piece it together. Brad Stevens says we were switching, and Brown stuck with Buddy Hield, and he didn't switch. So it was his fault, and that's going to happen. And he just didn't play the rest of the way. So that's not going to affect anything. I thought Jaylen Brown had a pretty decent game. Otherwise, Marcus Morris.
We've dogged Marcus Morris, or Marcus Morris has just not been good at shooting for the past couple of weeks. But he had a huge corner three. I just thought he was. There were a few possessions where the offense kind of slowed down there in the third quarter, where it was too much of a ISO Mook. But he scored 19 points. He had 4 assists, 5 rebounds. I thought he was a solid contributor. He clearly wasn't. He was still 3 of 8 from three, but knocking down 3 of 8 has been better than what he's been doing recently.
He did devolve into ISO Mook a lot. I thought having him and Rozier on the floor is just a bit too much, and. That brings you back to the discussion of starting versus bench. I think if you see what happened tonight as an example, not the clear evidence, but as an example of ISO guy Rozier, ISO guy Mook, you need non-ISO guys, or
it's tough to play them together.
Yeah, at least if the other ISO guy with Kyrie is Kyrie Irving, and he can, I mean, the rules just don't apply to him. In that same way, it's hard to play Rozier and Mook together. So I think tonight was an example of that. But still, a strong competitor there. Really good game otherwise from him, and obviously monster quotes after the game. What else do we have in here?
Well, we talked about Gordon Hayward making the final shot and making the foul, but I thought he at a very solid job as kind of the leader of the second unit. He was just, he had found a nice little rhythm with Jaylen Brown, connected to him for two threes. He had ended the game with five assists. I actually thought when the offense got pretty stagnant in the third quarter, they went away from Hayward and kind of him picking and probing. He was 6 of 10 for tonight, but I thought he was a much more aggressive. He's just, he's like, that explosion is still not there, but he's still very good at getting, going into towards the hoop, stopping, like doing a little bit of a fadeaway. I just thought it was another like just very solid performance from Hayward, which is what you like to see, especially on a back to back.
It was, and I think we're getting to a point now where, I mean, he's obviously not back. It might take the rest of the summer and for him to come into training camp and be Gordon Hayward.
But Brad is done talking about it, though. But
exactly. Like, and I think it's starting to get monotonous. And I don't know that if I'm Gordon Hayward, I'm borderline like, okay, everybody shut up about it. Like, it's the thing is, now he's on the road, and now people who haven't had the opportunity to ask him about it are now asking him about it. So he's had all year long of people like me asking him about his recovery and trying to explain second surgery and blah, blah, blah. And now he's coming out to the West Coast and he's got like the other national media and other like people who, oh, let me, Gordon Hayward's in here. I haven't had a chance to talk to him yet. And it's a lot of the same stuff. The game he had against Golden State and the game tonight shows me a little extra spice in Gordon Hayward's game. Yeah, I'm positive that he had a little extra because someone on the Warriors said he was a liability. I'm positive of that. He's a competitor. He has, as much as he has his issues with confidence sometimes and whatever, he can be a vicious competitor. And I think that he had a little something extra there. Tonight, where he had that foul on Hield, he said afterwards, it's like, I felt like I had to get that back. There was a clear, I'm going to take this ball, I'm going to drive it, and I'm going to score.
Zero hesitation.
Just go, just do it. And he's doing that a lot more lately. So the confidence is coming back. The basketball player is coming back. It's not, I feel like for a long time it was a guy trying to recover. Now he's a basketball player. And he's slowly becoming a good basketball player again. And as we've said, and as I've said on the podcast before, that now is setting up a clear kind of hierarchy where nobody can question really why Gordon Hayward's starting to get these minutes, because he's growing into a guy who you want him in this. When the Celtics needed to calm things down, Gordon Hayward with the ball in his hands, running off a pick from Al Horford or just running the offense was stabilizing. It calmed things down because you knew there was going to be some good, solid execution. Early on in the game when it was a little too jump shotty, everybody was settling for jumpers. Even though they were going in early, I didn't like the offense in the first 6 minutes at all. Gordon Hayward comes in, settles things down, gets some actual cuts to the basket, gets some actual offense going. Now he's becoming this good basketball player again. At some point, he's going to become a very good basketball player. Maybe even a great basketball player.
I don't even think
they
need him to be that, though. They just need him to be like a solid guy on the second unit. And you're right. The same thing happened in the third quarter. It was kind of that Mook and Terry thing, and the game got kind of cut to three. They brought Brad brought in Semi, Smart, and Horford back into the game. And you immediately just saw them running just like nice three-man game, just like consistent offense. The Celtics went on a little bit of run to end the third quarter. Now, it ended up coming back to them because they gave up, I think, some Buddy threes, and they're actually kind of lucky that the Buddy Hield shot at the end of the third didn't cut it to a three-point game. But you just saw them, like, Hayward, like, you put the ball in Hayward and Horford's hands, and good things are going to happen. And we haven't mentioned Al Horford at all tonight, which is a perfect segue. We're going to talk about him because he was the MVP of this game to me next segment.
I like it when Jam takes the initiative. Read the defense, react. When it comes time to throw to a break, you throw to a break. And now we're back, and we're talking about Al Horford, who had another fine game for Al Horford. about 31 minutes, 21 points, 11 rebounds, 7 assists, a steal, and a few turnovers, a block. That is a fine basketball game from Mr. Horford.
It is classic Al Horford. They run the offense through Al. The Kings were switching their smaller guys onto him, and I thought he just did a great job of punishing them when they didn't double, and then when they did double, just making the right pass. Surprise, surprise, Al Horford made the right pass in the post.
Do not double Al Horford.
No.
Why really, do teams double Al Horford?
Because they can't stop him with Buddy Hield to just posting him up directly. Like,
yeah, that's true. That's true.
He is such a matchup nightmare. If you want to be like a switchy team like that, he's going to abuse you. And if you wanted to play like a lot of drop, pick, and roll, he's going to pick and pop and shoot those threes. I just thought he was fantastic. And the Celtics really needed him because they played Aaron Baines. Aaron Baines did not play in, the second half because he was a minus 13 in the first half. His minutes just were not working. Brad Stevens tried Daniel Tice for 5 minutes. He picked up 4 fouls and was basically just getting abused by Harry Giles. They just didn't have great big man minutes from anyone other than Al Horford. I thought actually Semi Ojeleye came in and was just, I think he's Mr. Three, what is it, Club Trillion? He had 0 stats, so he had 1 rebound tonight, 1 foul, missed 1 shot. I actually thought he had a great hustle play to get it a fast break for the Celtics, but he just played solid minutes. And an interesting thing that Brad went to tonight with Kyrie on the bench is he went to these pretty huge lineups, mostly featuring Marcus Smart as the point guard, and then it was some version of Horford, Semi, Jalen Tatum, just these super switchable lineups where they could switch everything. And I thought they were pretty effective for stretches, and just I thought they were just tough and big, and it was Semi provided decent minutes when they needed some size because Al Horford can't play all 48.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because 48 minutes of Al Horford would be especially good. I love this quote from Marcus Morris, who just like they said, it's a no-brainer throwing it into the big dog. I just like that he's calling him Big Dog. This is kind of cool.
They're pretty much the same size.
During this time of season is where he starts being that player, being clutch, being playoff Al, coming down the stretch. We're definitely going to go to him more. The Celtics now for the past couple of games, Horford didn't have like a big statistical impact in the Golden State game. They didn't need him to. But, man, he set the tone early, as we talked about in the last podcast. Cutting off of him and him getting the assists is just perfect offense. And back to the Hayward running the offense, they ran Hayward came in. Brad Stevens called a horn set, which I've talked about, where you set Al Horford up on one elbow, the right elbow generally. Another player, this time it was Tatum, on the left elbow. It's been other people. Sometimes it's been even Gordon Hayward starting there, but Gordon initiated the offense. And it's just a quick get it to Al Horford, read, Tatum spun, got right to the hoop, and Al Horford found him. Set offense, get it to your best passer in that high post situation, and the other guy just reads the defense, and you start, then you go. And that was a moment of stability. What is that alarm?
Whoa, Charles, alarm.
Stability is our buzzword today.
Did you say loud?
Well, whatever's happening here at the Golden One Credit Union Center, Al Horford. It's very distracting, but very on brand for the Lockdown Celtics podcast to have background noise. And Al Horford is stability. That's his. It's a horrible nickname, but it would be very appropriate to call him Mr. Stability because that's what he does. You can throw it to him in the post, and if the double team comes, great. If he's matched up against a bigger guy, he can step back and take a fadeaway. If he's matched up against a smaller guy, he's strong. He's a big, strong guy. He could back a guy down. And the second somebody else makes a mistake, he can pass out of it and capitalize. We're seeing more as the February, as the end of January, you know, all that stretch of games. We're seeing Al Horford become more assertive, more of the player that we wanted. And I think I go back to what I've been saying all season long. Some of this has been Al Horford saving himself.
As he should.
Right. Some of it has been the team struggles. Some of it has been trying to – he's more than willing to take a step back, so he's trying to kind of fit in and let everybody else kind of figure things out. But some of it has been Al Horford is in his 30s now, and the grind of an NBA season, he's just not going to go crazy in a November game against anybody. He's pacing himself. He has to. So now we're seeing, like Marcus Morris said, this is the time where he becomes playoff Al.
And it have to give you confidence in the playoffs when we're talking about how great he is during his minutes. When his minutes are only going to go up during the playoffs, he's not going to play 31 minutes a game. It's going to be up closer to 35, maybe closer to 40. And just how much of an advantage the Celtics have when he's on the court. I still think he is the most important player in the playoffs because just of the matchup issues we've been talking about. He can dominate Embiid. He can guard Giannis. He can do so many different things. And so who knows with this Celtics team? They're probably still going to be the 5 seed unless they really go on a run here. Although the Sixers did lose tonight to the Bulls.
They had a bad loss.
On a crazy game where they had to replay the last 5 seconds after, 0.5 seconds after everyone went to the locker room. Otto Porter couldn't play because he was taking a drug test, and he was peeing at the time.
That's amazing. Hey, why don't we take a break?
Hopefully go somewhere that doesn't have an alarm sound.
We're going to see if we can get away from this siren. We've made our Al Horford points. We're going to take a break and see what happens here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Siren has stopped.
Maybe now a little depths.
Now we've retreated to the inner maze of the Golden Something One
the
Center.
Golden Nugget Center.
So now time for the tweets. We ask you every game to send us your thoughts with the Rain and Jays hashtag or the Rain and Junk hashtag. Let's just dive into some of these Rain and Jays tweets. From @40351, Al Horford a +18 in a 2-point game. Continuing the conversation that we had before the break.
That just shows you how valuable Al is and how not great the other centers were.
Baines was a -13. You mentioned that. And Daniel Tice was a -6. So that tells you all you need to know. @PosseRRR, how many hours, days, months will the Celtics season shorten our lives?
Not at all if you practice sports optimism. Yeah. But if you ride the roller coaster, it's going to be fun.
I think that I'm past the point in my life where this type of stuff shaves years off. I've just come to say, huh, oh, that's wild.
No, that happened.
That's
it was actually one of the wildest games.
The ending was
insane.
Crazy. Buddy Hield hit an insane three. Then Tatum came down and did that little ballet dance for his fadeaway.
We didn't even talk about Buddy Hield's amazing chase down block slash foul of Marcus Smart where he could have, like, that dunk, if he finished that, really would have put the game away.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that, and then that was also then the foul loose ball sequence and then the Hayward foul. And, oh, man, the ending was fantastic. And at Balding Ballers, kind of reference to that, said that ending had everything. Smart yelling at Jaylen again. Tatum incredible one-on-one offense. Hayward atrocious foul on a three. Hayward game winner. Yeah, kind of a little bit of something for everything there. @TN John Dunn. Pretty sure that's only Gordon Hayward's second career game winner as a pro. Surprisingly few, but a great clutch shot. I mean, I don't know if he's – I've never seen Gordon Hayward take and miss those shots. I don't think he's been in an opportunity.
I didn't watch a lot of Utah Jazz games.
Game winners come few and far between. It's not like they happen all the time. This is a popular take at Trainer Ryan 22. Gordon didn't foul Buddy, and the ball didn't lie.
I thought he fouled him.
I think he fouled him.
You fouled him pretty clearly.
I think he didn't foul him up top, but if you watch, I think he was...
Got a good amount of that body.
Yeah, down low on the legs, he got him. It is what it is. And Hayward referenced it after the game, where he said, look, he came around, he came flying around the pick, and he stopped on a dime, and he jumped straight up. And Hayward came flying around trying to guard him, and he just got too much of the body. It wasn't like he crushed him, but I think it kind of was a foul. So, let's see. At Robert Denton, some skinny-ass Jimi Hendrix wannabe is smoking the Celtics.
De'Aaron Fox was wearing a very cool headband. And so I was seated next to some rambunctious Celtics fans, which were a lot of Celtics fans turned out tonight.
A lot.
But they were kept on yelling that they thought his headband was too long and it may be illegal. I just thought that was a good chirp because it made no sense, but it was fantastic. I think that's a decent transition to Raining Junk unless you got anything more.
No, that's fine.
I got a good one. It just says, this is from Joe McDonald, it just says C fucking M. I'm assuming that's after a good Al Horford play.
Yes.
That is a perfect transition. This is one from James Beard at Beard Jam. Love that handle. Didn't get to follow along on Twitter tonight, but did you all get to talk about how the Kings fans got a free burger because the C's committed a lane violation on a free throw? That did happen. They missed two consecutive free throws. Jalen actually made it, but Tice committed a lane violation, and they got some free Jack in the Box. I don't think it was a burger, though. I think it was a smoothie.
Yeah, some kind of shake or something. But I like the free something if the opponents miss two free throws. That's a great promotion. It's a great ad, great business move. And what I enjoy... If I was a basketball player, I've seen a player do this before. I forget who it was. Late in the game with the game out of hand, especially for a visitor, go brick your two free throws.
It's one way to win fans.
I think you just kind of do it. Like, that's a nice thing to do. If you're up by 20, just go brick the two free throws and say, there you go. Everybody get your fries / shake / whatever it is that you get.
This is just a video entry, but it's talking about in L.A. Do you see Rajon Rondo checking out of the game and just sitting nowhere near the bench?
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, man, it was a comedy of errors. The Lakers are imploding, and it's fantastic. We'll Celtics catch them on Saturday night. Someone just said Hayward is money and then tweeted a GIF from The Wire of D'Angelo Barksdale saying money be green. So that's... I'm always good
thing.
For a wire gift.
Sure.
Tush Bagoosh said West Coast Hayward is very arousing. I would have to agree. Although Sacramento, not really on the coast.
No.
Me and Jay King drove up from San Francisco today, and a lot of weird transition from like some nice green hills to just like then weird swampland.
Yeah.
There's a fruit stand advertising like zucchinis, 89 cents a pound. Jay King was very much wanted to stop. I had to put my veto in there.
I saw a sign for cannabis delivered.
Ooh.
They have cannabis delivery out here.
How nice. This is from Brian Alucard Fury. That tricycle race is way too much effort for free shakes. There was a tricycle race, and they just didn't. No one really seemed into it.
Three laps, don't yeah. Like that's a lot. That's a lot.
This is last one. This is from Charlotte Lebronte. That chunky brother in the dance squad brought the house down.
Yes,
that man can move. He was
good.
Fantastic.
There's nothing like a fat man dancing.
No, it's
people love it.
Oh, it's constant entertainment. I think this is going to transition to my own personal junk drawer. So, as I mentioned, drove up with Jay King. We had a little bit of time to kill before the pregame. So, we were just hanging out in Jay King's hotel. I said, I'm going to go get some food. Jay's like, all right, I'm going to take a nap. I come back, and there's just rap music blasting. And this is how I learned that Jay King sleeps and takes naps with music blasting.
He was sleeping through it?
He was sleeping through it. I yelled to him, I was like, hey, I'm back. Nothing. And he, like, 45 minutes later, he's like, oh, man, it's a good nap. And it's like, just blasting rap music the entire time. How nonsensical is that?
That doesn't make any sense at all.
The enigma that is Jay King.
He's a wild dude. He's a wild dude. I can't figure him out at all.
Yeah.
The only thing, I use, like, a little white noise to sleep.
Yeah, I'll use the same thing, a little noise machine. But, no, he's just blasting, like, Jay-Z and Nas and then, like, A Tribe Called Quest. It was a great playlist. I will give
sure.
him that. Shout out to former Celtics player Kelly Olynyk, who played 44 minutes tonight in a regulation game and led the Heat to victory on 22-11. Just thought that was random.
44 minutes.
Did you notice that the entire Celtics media section was seated behind section 105, and then there was me isolated alone, seated alone behind section 104? They separated me. I think they knew.
I didn't
they
notice
too
that.
Much.
I was looking around because I wanted to talk about, because you had mentioned the crazy mics on the rims.
Yeah, the mics on the rims are very distracting.
They're very distracting. But so you had tweeted that, and I quote tweeted it, and then somebody took a shot after a foul, and it just clanged off the rim, but there was nothing. And
do you think they turn them on and off?
I think they turn the mics on and off. At first, I was like, wait a minute. If a shot after a whistle bang clangs off the rim, you should also hear the noise. And I didn't. And I was like, wait, did they add that? Is that a sound effect?
I couldn't tell. It was very odd and kind of startling.
They do one of two things. They either turn the mics on or off, or it's a sound effect, which... If it's a sound effect, I feel
weird flex.
I feel bamboozled.
The sound of the whole night was kind of odd because the PA announcer also served as like the MC for the entire night.
Yes.
So he would go be like, "That's a foul on number 34," and then he would also transition to just like commenting on people on Kiss Cam.
Yeah.
And normally they don't mix the two, and the PA guy was very casual the entire night, and it was different. I don't know if I liked it or disliked it. My opinion's still out, but it was a different feel.
It is different. I agree.
We saw Headband Tatum tonight.
Yes.
First time we've seen him. He was quite good in the first half.
He missed a few bunnies.
Oh, I wrote in my notes. He missed three bunnies. I wrote in my notes he missed 17 because it really felt like it. Actually, he had a great cut. They doubled Al Horford, doubled off of him. Perfect cut and just missed the layup. He did it a bunch of times tonight.
It was
tonight.
A gorgeous play, and I was ready to tweet it, and then he missed. I was like, son of a... Yeah.
I Can't Wait by New Shoes is the perfect song. I'll say that every single time it
comes
up.
That's just a regular thing that you mention.
We already talked about Marcus Morris saying he took a page out of Smarty's playbook, which is fantastic.
It's a great one.
The thing that I kind of captured my attention is it was a bit of a distraction the entire game. Kyrie was sitting behind the bench.
Yeah.
He went from like, it looked like he was bored and a little bit alone because there's no one else sitting with him. And then apparently this whole game he was just touching Yabu's head.
See, now I saw that. I tried to ask Yabu about it and he didn't want to play along.
But see, I watched you ask Yabu about it. And just the joy, like the smile on your face walking away from talking to Yabu, man. He's electric.
Yeah. Because Kyrie was standing next to him. And so the situation was, I saw what was going on. I'm like, I got to talk to Yabu about this. Because sitting in front of Kyrie has to be like a wild kind of scene. Kyrie, I thought, was active. He was kind of like making play calls with his hands or whatever. And at one point, Yabu kind of turned around and was like, calm down.
Stop flicking my ear and playing with my hair.
Right. So afterwards, as we're walking in, Robert Williams, Kyrie, and Yabu are walking out. And I said, I want to talk to you. Yabu, do you mind if I walk with you and talk to you? I didn't realize that crew was together. And so I'm standing there, and Kyrie is standing there looking at me. And I said, well, this kind of involves you if you want to get involved here. And he's like, nope. And I'm like, I don't think you want to talk, do you? He goes, nope. And he walks out. And then so I ask Yabu three questions. And then Williams comes back and he's like, I'm like, just get the hell out of here. Just go. You guys
have your fun.
You guys have your fun. This is not going anywhere. Go for it. Have your fun. The moral of that is Kyrie, Yabu, Time Lord.
Hanging out.
Not chilling.
15 players, 15 cabs.
Chilling out, having a good time. So, I mean.
Kyrie, having a good time.
Having a good time.
In a good mood.
Winning fixes everything.
Yeah, it does. So does flying on the soul plane. The plane that fixes everything. Whatever happened on that plane ride. Well, because it was the soul Celtics, so I think that's the soul plane. And so I think the Celtics are. They're having fun again. And so I've unconfirmed, I'm like 95% sure this happened, but after Gordon Hayward hit that go-ahead shot, I'm like 1,000, I went from 95 to 1,000% sure.
Yes.
I saw Jaylen Brown kiss him on the cheek. And I'm looking for video. There's video of Kyrie saying, let's go to afterwards. And you see Jaylen cross over and approach Hayward, but then it's out of frame. But I'm like very, very sure he kissed him on the cheek. And that's if that's not love, if that's not Erotic City, I don't know what is.
That's fantastic. I did not notice that. If that happened.
Someone please get me video. Submit the video.
Yeah. Do you have any more junk drawer?
That's it.
Damn it. I was going to search for it while you had other drawers. I have one thing that you didn't mention. And I saw, so Shemmy gets in. And Corey Brewer is coming across the lane. And I think a foul call happened about the same time. But Brewer and Shemmy Ogilvie collided. Now, Corey Brewer is part of the Tayshaun Prince All-Stars. He is a very thin.
Looks like a wet rat.
Yeah. He is very, very frail looking. He must have bounced off Shemmy Ogilvie like 6 feet the other direction. It was very comical to see. Big combat muscle Shemmy and little tiny Corey Brewer, and it went basically exactly like a Super Bowl bouncing off a wall.
I remember one more junk drawer thing. At some point, Aaron Baines tried to check into the game, and they wouldn't let him.
Yes!
And he was pissed. He was just screaming at the ref. I thought he was going to get teched up. Teed up? Teched up. Teched up sounds more intense.
I like that.
And then, like, they just let him in the next play, and, like, the ref made like, oh, now you can check, and everyone laughed about it. But for some reason, Baines was furious. Haircut Baines is an angry man, and I like it.
Yeah, he's he is an intense guy. He's got that happy-go-lucky Australian kind of like talk to you and just like he's funny and gregarious. But when it comes time to the game and when it comes time to like play basketball, he gets intense. Like the video of him punting the ball at the practice facility because they wouldn't let him continue to play for like 5 more minutes. Like, no, your time's up. He's like, ah, poof, kicks the ball. And afterwards, he's like, ha, ha, ha. Yeah, I'm just getting ready to play AFL when I get back. You're like, oh, geez, man. Like, that's just, he's an intense guy. He's Australian.
That's it. That's all I got.
All right. Well, I can't find, I just searched Jaylen Kiss.
It's probably just going to lead to my tweets.
We'll have to search for it and see what happens. All right, that's it. That's the show. We're off to L.A. And I don't know what's going to happen. Tomorrow is, what the hell day is this? This is the Thursday show. All right, so tomorrow we'll put another show together, and then the weekend comes along, and we'll do another podcast there. But we're off to Los Angeles to continue this road trip. And, so if you're not a subscriber, I hope you've enjoyed this show and subscribe. Regular subscribers, good written review, 5-star rating, and share the podcast. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked On Celtics.